Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
720 WGN. Good evening. It's Ken Smith with you this evening until 1 o'clock. That's when Nick DiGilio comes in. And we were just talking about, you know, the Avenger movies and the Star Wars movies. And it's easy to get caught up in it. And I was talking about how I was watching the last Avengers movie with my wife. And that's the thing. If you're always worried about, well, do I have to see the last four movies in order to understand this movie? Unfortunately, when you're talking about Avengers Endgame, yeah, you kind of have to. You kind of have to have seen all the Avengers movies to understand what's going on with that movie. My wife hadn't. We had watched the one before that to kind of prep her for this one. And she was okay with it. I have to admit, I think she kind of fell asleep by the end of it. I mean, I don't mean to call you out, Claire, but yeah, you kind of fell asleep by the end of Avengers Endgame. Even though I had the volume, I had the extra high volume up to 50 on like the sound bar, so that the room was rumbling, so that we could stay awake and try and get the movie theater experience out of it. So there's going to be a lot of fans of those movies at Wizard World Comic-Con this weekend at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center. And my first guest tonight is someone that you all know if you have seen the movie American Pie, if you've seen the movie Rookie of the Year. He is in Chicago a lot. He's a great guy. Thank you so much for doing this tonight. It's Thomas Ian Nicholas. How you doing, Thomas?
I'm good, Ken. How are you, man?
I am excellent. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Is this your first Comic-Con, or have you been doing a few of these?
This is my third year of being at Wizard World Comic-Con in Chicago. And in fact, I've been doing every Wizard World around the country for about 2.5 years, as well as a bunch of other ones.
Oh, wow.
So I would say at this point, I've become part of the Comic-Con community, the comic community.
The comic community is what you're
exactly
a part of. Yes, exactly. So I'll ask you the same question in two different ways. So when people see you on the streets of Chicago, what do they say to you most often? Do they talk to you about Rookie of the Year or American Pie or something else?
I would say most of the time in Chicago, it's focused on, they call me Rowan Gardner, or Rothenboozer, Gardenhoser, Rothenbagger. Obviously, you know, American Pie is pretty much everywhere else in the world outside of Chicago land area and Illinois, and even sometimes here too, or it's a little bit of both.
Right, and when you're doing the Comic-Cons around the country, what are people coming up to you and mentioning the most?
Well, it depends on whether or not the city I'm in has a baseball team, because if they don't have a baseball team, then because of the WGN, then they're fans of the Cubs.
Sure, sure. All and around so, the country like, for like all in, those years.
Yeah, for sure. Like New Orleans is a perfect city that I would have never really anticipated just how many Chicago Cubs fans there are thanks to WGN-TV. And I mean, I know WGN broadcast in Los Angeles where I was growing up. Granted, we had a couple of sports teams, but I remember watching the Cubs as a kid, and even before I had the opportunity to be a Cub.
Right, and you talk about New Orleans. They don't have a baseball team, so they've got to adopt somebody, right? So it might as well
exactly
be. Exactly. So how old were you when you did? I met Gary Busey at the Pirates of the Caribbean red carpet. So this is maybe 15 years ago. And I'm sure you've done those. And those red carpets are, so you know, the celebrities such as yourself, you walk past the cameras and you're doing all the little hits for Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood and all that kind of stuff. And then the publicist just kind of shove you past the radio people. You don't stop there. If you don't have to stop at the radio people, you don't stop at the radio people. But I grabbed Gary Busey for a second, and I said, "Oh, can you talk to Chicago for a second?" He goes, "Oh, I love Chicago. I did Rookie of the Year in Chicago." So how old were you when you did Rookie of the Year? And for those people who don't remember the movie or never saw the movie, quickly tell us the premise.
I was 12, so we shot it here in Chicago. What would have been the postseason, of course, then the Cubs were having none of that. This right. is all pre-Ricketts. It was 92, and the plot of the movie was I played a 12-year-old kid that breaks his arm, and when it heals, he miraculously has a 103-mile-an-hour fastball and gets drafted by the Chicago Cubs. And spoiler alert, I take them to the World Series.
And the funny thing is, 103-mile-an-hour fastball isn't even the fastest fastball in the major leagues now, these days.
Sure. But Henry Rowengartner Chapman helped the Cubs really win the World Series in 2016 by being the Rowengartner closer.
Yes, that's exactly right. And how many Cubs games have you been able to go to since then? Do you go and have you sung Take Me Out to the Ball Game or any of those things?
In 2008, I started my sort of now annual tradition of throwing out the first pitch and singing the seventh inning stretch. So now I've done it 11 times. I was just here a couple weeks ago on August 4th. Doing that again, and starting on the 20th anniversary and the 25th, and now you'll have to wait till the 30th. I floated.
Okay. So
last year, actually, Amy Morton came and joined me at Wrigley, and we reenacted the entire scene from the moment when she tells Henry to float it for the winning pitch against Hato for the division championship against the Mets. Other than that, you know, I just went to the game today because I'm back in town just to go and enjoy the game. And I flew out to game four of the World Series to watch the Cubbies lose and then miraculously, like the Cubs do, come back and win the next subsequent three games to take the series back in 2016.
That's exactly right. That was amazing. Thomas Ian Nicholas is our guest. He's going to be performing, or he's going to be appearing at Wizard World Comic Con at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center this weekend in Rosemont. Thomas, I have to take a quick break for news. Can you hold on for a second? Because I want to talk to you about what you're doing at Comic-Con and also a couple of appearances that you have coming up. Can you hold on for a second?
Yeah, I'll hold on. Just real quick, want to say I'm doing a free show at Beerhead, a new spot in Wrigley, sponsored by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and we'll talk about all that when you come back after this break.
Well, boy, look at that. You're taking it to break for, and you have to tell me what Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey is, because I've never heard of that. That sounds, I don't quite know how that sounds. You're going to have to tell me all about it. 720 Yes.
It tastes delicious.
After the first two, it doesn't matter how it tastes after the first two, I'm sure. All right. Thomas, we'll check back in with you in just a second. It is 720 WGN, time for news. 720 WGN, Ken Smith with you. And that's Thomas Ian Nicholas that you're listening to right now. Thomas, you're going to be playing a show in Wrigleyville on Saturday. That's your band.
Yeah. I just got did like a five-day tour through the Chicagoland area, and then I got a gig at this brand new cool spot called Beerhead in Wrigley that's right across the street from HVAC. They've got like over 40 craft beers, but I'm bringing in the Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey to the party.
Now, what in the heck is Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey?
Just the most delicious whiskey that you've ever, well, that you haven't had yet, but it's it's one of those ones, man. What do? They salt the rim and call it salty nuts. And it's one of the most delicious shots you've ever had.
So it tastes like peanut butter.
And whiskey, yes.
And it tastes like
peanut butter whiskey.
So it's definitely one of those, like a fireball type thing. It's definitely a shot type whiskey.
No, I like to sip it, actually.
Really?
It's better than fireball because...
Well, anything's better than fireball.
Well, yeah, like Fireball, you have one and you go, oh, Lord, I'm done. Screwball, you have one and you go, cool, I want another one. That tasted delicious. So it's also Fireball whiskey is not with an E, and Screwball whiskey is with an E. And if you know anything about whiskey, that means that Fireball is 49% vodka and Screwball is not.
Well, I'm going to take up your recommendation, and I'm going to try and find me some Screwball peanut butter whiskey. Well, I have to try and find
it. It just launched in Chicago. You can get it at Benny's if you want to have a bottle at home. Or there's obviously Beerhead will have it. HVAC already has it. House of Blues has it, where we just headlined the IM Fest last Saturday. So lots of spots in Chicago have it. Pretty much I'm leaving a trail of Screwball wherever I go.
There you go. Where did your love for music come from?
Well, you know, I started playing when I was like 14, and I basically just had a lot of time, you know, sitting in my trailer waiting to go and shoot scenes. So that's where I spent most of my time doing something, I don't know, useful. And then I would say that music kind of kept me out of trouble, sort of transitioning from being a child actor into a young adult actor. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it was sort of a creative outlet for me.
No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you need something, especially at that age, to keep you occupied, to keep you from getting out of trouble, exactly like what you said. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun. I actually play at the Wizard World Comic Con stage as well. So I've got essentially a double on Saturday. I'm doing like an acoustic set around 5, and then racing over to Wrigley for a full band set at Beerhead.
And yes.
Oh, I was going to say, I have a couple films coming out too.
What films do you have coming out?
September 16th. In theaters will be Zeroville, directed by James Franco, starring James Franco, Seth Rogen, Will Ferrell, Danny McBride, Megan Fox. It's a drama period piece in 1969. I play Martin Scorsese.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And then the other one I produced is called Adverse, and that will probably premiere at a festival, and then we're looking at like an April release in theaters, and it's Mickey Rourke, Penelope Ann Miller, Lou Diamond Phillips, and Sean Astin.
Oh, that's amazing. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think, well, Matt Ryan and Sam Levine are here at Wizard World Comic Con, so we're actually, they're both in Adverse, so we're doing like a little Adverse photo op opportunity at Wizard World, since there's 3 of us from the movie. Even though the movie hasn't come out yet, you know, that's sort of the fun things about Wizard World Comic Con, is you get to get a group of people together that have all done work together and get these like fun group photos.
And I'm sure, yeah, it's a lot of fun to be together on these weekends and do those types of things. Thomas Ian Nicholas is our guest. This is 720 WGN. And you say you're playing in Zeroville. You're playing Martin Scorsese, which sounds pretty awesome to me. But you also have played, and I don't know how many people can say this, you played Walt Disney. What was that like?
Only one other person could say that, and his name's Tom Hanks.
right. So you're in good company.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he was born in Chicago. Walt Disney was.
Yes.
So another sort of affiliation with Chicago. But yeah, I play him in a movie called Walt Before Mickey that you can catch on Netflix now. It came out a few years ago in theaters. From the age of 17. To the age of 27 before he created Mickey Mouse. So it's sort of his struggles, trials, tribulations, failures, and perseverance. It's really inspiring.
So when you're playing an actual person, do you just try and give it your own take? Or in a situation like where you're playing Scorsese, did you get an opportunity to talk to Martin Scorsese? Or did you talk to members of the Disney family before portraying Walt, or did you just decide to try and just give it your own spin on your own?
You know, that's like the perfect world of both of those scenarios. And in both instances, I just did not, I was not given enough time to prepare. As an example, when I got the phone call and the offer to play Walt Disney and I accepted it, they said, great, you start shooting in 7 days. I was on a plane to Florida in five.
Wow.
So I had, you know, essentially 5 days to prepare. And then same sort of thing with Martin Scorsese. It was like, got the phone call and I was working a couple of days later. So I'd love to say that I took the opportunity. I mean, look, if you had said, hey, you can play this role, you got 3 months, then I definitely would have done all those things. In the instances that I had, I just kind of watched as much of them as I could, as close to the time period that I could.
Sure.
That was, you know, and obviously Scorsese, there was only really like some stuff. There's more stuff around that era where I was playing in 1969, you know, kind of like that short film that he did with Harvey Keitel and some things like that. I think it was called The Gun, maybe. I know there was a gun in it at a party. That's like sort of this thing that he's in his own thing. But Walt Disney, there was nothing of him prior to him being like 30 years old and already established.
Right.
And I was playing him well before that. So with that one, I just kind of had to, I don't know, sort of just a take on what I thought his persona would be, because I knew how different I was. At the time, I was, what, 33 or something like that when I played him, 34.
Okay.
And I just looked at my life like 20 years difference in how different I was. So I was like, you know, I can't pretend to be the older version of him playing a younger version. I just have to focus on the drive and the passion and the vision, you know?
Did you get any feedback from anybody from the Disney family after the movie came out?
No, not from the Disney family per se. I mean, Diane Disney Miller wrote the foreword in the book that the film was based on, so I know that everything in the book was true, but we also had to make some creative, we had to take some creative licenses, because to show him starting and stopping or starting and failing at five animation studios in Kansas City would have been very redundant. So we truncated some of those things. I mean, you kind of have to in films. You have to take creative licenses to tell stories the way that stories kind of work.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't necessarily know what what they think of it. I know fans have been, you know, pretty appreciative of the performance and have liked it. And I tried to, you know, do the best I could. That's, I guess, really all you can do in those moments when you have 5 days to prepare.
Thomas Ian Nicholas is our guest. He's going to be appearing at Wizard World Comic Con all weekend long at the Donald E. Convention Center in Rosemont. And there's quite a lineup of people that are appearing this weekend. Jeff Goldblum, Zachary Levi, who just played Shazam, Melissa Joan Hart, Billy Zane, Greg Gruenberg. How'd you like to be Greg Gruenberg? Oh, yeah, well, my best friend is J.J. Abrams, so he puts me in all his movies. That's awesome.
You forgot John Travolta.
And yes, and what a great get that is, John Travolta. And I've always heard that, and I've never interviewed Travolta, but I've always been told, and Thomas Ian Nicholas is in this group as well, but I've always been told historically the three nicest guys in Hollywood are John Travolta, Henry Winkler, and Steve Carell. And Travolta and Winkler are both going to be at Wizard World this weekend.
Well, so then I should just do cosplay as Steve Carell, then.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, you could just be yourself. You are the fourth head on Mount Rushmore of the nicest people in Hollywood.
Oh, Ken, your check's in the mail.
Thank you very much. So we were talking about Avengers movies and things of that nature earlier in the show. So what type of folks go to these conventions? Is it a bunch of people dressing up? Is it geeks? Is it casual fans?
It's pretty much everything. You know, you've got people that are dressing up that are into, you know, all sorts of cosplay or into Marvel Universe or DC Universe or into anime. Or you've got, like, you know, the looky-loos or just the families. It's pretty much you've got every type of person that's there. And the best part about Wizard World Comic Con, outside of it being for people of all ages, is that there's just no judgment. It's just zero judgment. There's no like, oh, you didn't dress up, or, oh, look at that guy, he's dressed too weird. Like, just zero judgment. So it's kind of where the the geeks and the freaks get to attend, as well as the normal people and the crazy people and whoever people, and we all just have a good time.
And you sign autographs and take pictures and do all that good stuff as well?
Yeah. Like I said, I perform on the entertainment stage. I have a booth that I do meet and greets at. And, if people want to collect, like, signed pictures, they can, or selfies or professional photos. I run a Disney trivia panel on Saturdays. So you can kind of come and get a little bit more involved. It's a little bit more fun than a Q&A where I'm just up there answering questions that you maybe already heard me answer. And it's more interactive where you can win prizes and kind of beat me on Disney trivia knowledge.
Well, if you want to see Thomas Ian Nicholas this weekend, you're going to have lots of opportunities to do so. He's going to be at Wizard World Comic Con every day this weekend, correct? Through Sunday. Am I right?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll be there all 4 days. And also, I should mention that the show with my band at Beerhead is after the Cubs game, and it's completely free, so there's no cover charge.
Oh, that's awesome. So if you're going to that Cubs game or you're going to be in Wrigleyville on Saturday, head on over to Beerhead Bar and Eatery and see Thomas Ian Nicholas and his band. And did you do something with Blues Traveler?
I did about 4 years ago, I think, or 5 years ago. I wrote a song with John Popper, and it made the cut and came out on their 2015 album entitled Blow Up the Moon. They sort of collabed with a bunch of amazing artists, Jewel, Hanson, 303, Gavin DeGraw, the Dirty Heads, you name it. They were on there, and somehow I'm part of that list.
Well, I love John and Chan, especially because when I take a picture with them, I look small. They're gigantic, huge men, and they're great guys.
I performed with them at Red Rock in Denver, as well as the Greek Theater in Los Angeles.
And do that Red Rock gig every year. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was with them. I want to say it was like either into the summer of 2015 when the album came out, or it was the next year. But yes, I look like a tiny child on stage next to them.
Well, Thomas, I'm going to try and come out and see you on Saturday at Beerhead, because I'm usually in Wrigleyville on Saturday nights. I'm the guy at the end of one of the bars there. So I might as well be the guy at the end of the bar at Beerhead.
Well, perfect. Then I look forward to seeing you on Saturday, Ken.
Absolutely. And Wizard World Comic-Con goes on all weekend at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center. He's got a couple of new films out. Zeroville comes out in September with James Franco. And Adverse comes out with Mickey Rourke and Thomas Ian Nicholas in April. And if you're going to be taking a road trip, a great city to see him in is Austin, Texas. He's going to be at the Highball November 9th. Thomas, thank you so much for coming on at WGN on this hour, and I appreciate it. Short notice as well, and have a great weekend and have a great time while you're here in Chi-Town.
Yeah, sounds good. And you can try a shot of Screwball peanut butter whiskey with me on Saturday night at Beerhead.
That's a promise. I will absolutely do that. Absolutely.
Perfect.
Thanks, Thomas.
All right, thanks, Ken.
That's Thomas Ian Nicholas. You know him from American Pie, you know him from Rookie of the Year, and he's going to be at Wizard World Comic Con all weekend long, and you can see him at Beerhead Bar and Eatery in Wrigleyville on Saturday. Going to take a quick break, come back, and I want to talk about ride shares. Ride shares to me are kind of like Brussels sprouts. You either love them or you hate them. Do you have a rideshare horror story? Call me or text me. Call me or text me 312-981-7200 if you have a rideshare horror story. I take rideshares a lot, and I've got a couple of thoughts on them coming up. I'm Ken Smith, and this is 720 WGN.